Think fast, think slow. Next to my bed is a large stack of books, most of which I'll never read. I pick them up on occasional prowls through the local bookstore, or buy them specifically based on a book review. The problem is that I'm far more ambitious than when I buy books than when I want to read them. Recent books on the floor include Upright, The Evolutionary Key to Becoming Human, Mycophilia, a book about mushrooms, and Mr. Gatling's Terrible Marvel, about the history of the Gatling gun. However, I promised myself that I would make an honest effort at thinking fast and slow, a well-reviewed book about how we think. But about halfway through it, I raised the white flag and hoped that perhaps there was an old Vanity Fair nestled amongst the dust bunnies under the bed. Besides, I think I've got the hang of the book. The author, Daniel Kahneman, a psychologist, makes a pretty strong case that our exquisite brain, the 800-pound gorilla at the top of the food chain, basically relies on a mishmash of biases, irrational rules of thumb, and stereotypes. Here it is in a nutshell. Kahneman describes two different patterns of thinking. System 1 is our fast, automatic, and emotional pattern of processing information. In contrast, System 2 is slow, effortful, logical, and conscious. We'd like to think that System 2 is the basis of human intelligence, but here's the problem. System 2 is just plain lazy and defers to System 1 whenever it can. In the meantime, System 1 struggles to keep up with the deluge of input and is forced to make quick and dirty decisions on incomplete information. System 1 lacks the discipline to look beyond the surface and relies on YCIADI, an acronym for What You See Is All There Is. Basically, System 1 desperately tries to stitch together a plausible storyline from immediately available information, and in its rush is totally vulnerable to all sorts of biases, fallacies, stereotypes, and prejudices. The recent movie Moneyball contains a great example of Systems 1 and 2 at work. A room is filled with grizzled baseball scouts who make System 1 comments such as, "He waddles like a duck. He's no good." Or, "He's got an ugly girlfriend, and an ugly girlfriend means no confidence. Don't draft him." That is pure System 1, which contrasts with GM Billy Beane's System 2 that focuses on a detailed statistical analysis of on-base percentage. One of the biases of System 1 is overconfidence. Not surprisingly, overconfidence is a particular problem among people who feel powerful. This is a troubling scenario for our elected officials. We presumably elect presidents based on their careful, logical thinking. We're hoping that they're endowed with a robust System 2. But the power that comes with the election puts them on a slippery slope of an overconfident System 1. Hence, we should not be surprised when George W. Bush says, "I don't spend a lot of time taking polls around the world to tell me what I think is the right way to act. I've just got to know how I feel." Yikes. And then, as voters, we presumably use our System 2 to select our candidate. But sometimes the issues are too complicated for System 2, or System 1 has an override button. I'm reminded of my father in 2004, when his System 2 was just badgering him not to vote for George W. Bush. But Dad was a lifelong Republican, as was his father, his grandfather, and great-grandfather, who was a paymaster for Abraham Lincoln. To vote Democratic would be a major upheaval of his self-image and would throw his carefully constructed System 1 into chaos. He struggled, but he found a workaround. After he watched the convention, he said, "I really like that Laura Bush. I think I'll vote for her husband." Kahneman first entered the financial world when he realized that System 1 is particularly pathetic at assessing risk and probability. For example, we typically assume that good outcomes are a result of skill, either ours alone or the experts that we hire. It's an ego thing. We consistently underestimate the role of luck in almost everything that we do. This is a pernicious effect in estimating stock-picking skill. Money managers and hedge fund guys receive luscious year-end performance bonuses, which may just reflect their luck in any given year. This illusion of skill is deeply ingrained in the financial world. In fact, a lucky monkey throwing darts is just as likely to be eligible for a bonus. It's all very depressing until Kahneman points out that System 1 actually does a mostly brilliant job considering the overwhelming workload and time crunch, and the best that we can do is make sure that our System 2 is not so damn lazy. Think of your System 2 as your family dog, who basically sits around all day, totally sacked out on the couch until you get him roused for his daily walk, his only mental stimulation of the day. Ideally, you want a dog that is self-motivated and rushes around sniffing and exploring. After reading Kahneman's book, I have a better sense of my System 2, which I need to rely on as I delve into a work project. typically an analysis of some medical technology. I feel like my system, too, is a hibernating bear in a zoo, and I have to throw tasty marshmallows of information through the bars of the cage, hit him on the nose, and hope that he wakes up and shows a spark of interest. Hey, System 2, I need you for a project. System 1 says he won't believe what Medtronic is trying to implant into the brain this time. The lazy bear might show some initial interest, but then snort and roll over. Time to up the ante. Yo, System 2, wake up. I've got another project on your favorite topic, incontinence. This will give you the unique opportunity to be the big fish in the small pond of incontinence expertise. In fact, I bet you could knock this one off in no time. Finally, thank God, a response. With a huge heave-ho, the bear rises, shuffles over to the cage, and sticks his nose out through the bars. Now I've got to act fast. Since once I've got System 2 up and running, I've got to keep it running. And so my typical work pattern is to plow through the project without taking any breaks. Working in fits and starts would only allow System 2 to go back into hibernation. And then, when I finish a project, I know that I have to give myself a couple of days of dinking around before I can fire up the lazy bear again. About 2 years ago, I retook the SATs after a 45-year hiatus in an effort to understand the hazing ritual that college-bound teenagers must endure and to see if my accumulated life skills would improve my meager test-taking skills. Now, as I look back on it, I think one component of the SATs test is whether or not you can engage your System 2 for a grueling 4 hours, particularly when the material is so relentlessly boring. The SAT test is a constant battle between the two systems, and even though you might want to rely on System 2, time constraints force you to use the intuition of System 1 to answer some questions. Therefore, a critical test-taking skill is the ability to recognize which questions require triage to System 2. The SAT developers know this and pepper the test with trick questions designed to lull your System 1 into a smug complacency. Here's a sample math question. A bat and ball cost $1.10. The bat costs $1 more than the ball. How much does the ball cost? If you answered 10 cents, you are in good company. Some 50% of students at Harvard, MIT, and Princeton similarly relied on System 1 and got it wrong. It just looks like 10 cents is so intuitively right. But let's look at this. If the ball costs 10 cents, then the bat would cost $1.10, and together they would cost $1.20. So the correct answer is 5 cents. I can imagine System 2 snickering. System 1, you're such a dumb fuck. I can't believe you screwed up such a gimme. I would have gotten that in seconds. System 1 might respond, okay, if you're so damn smart, you come up here on the front lines and take over this triage job. The problem is that System 2 never will. It's just not proactive. I remember one specific question on the math section of the SAT that involved using some sort of chart to calculate the total number of hours that students studied over the course of high school, factoring in vacations and institute days. This was clearly a job for System 2, but try as I might, System 2 just refused. I felt that System 2 was saying, look, I hung tough on that dreary reading passage about the difference between Doric and Corinthian columns, but I've had it. This is bullshit. I'm out of here. I pleaded, come on, stay focused, we've just got another hour. System 2 gave me one last contemptuous look and said, what part of no don't you understand? And then shuffled off. Here was an example where Systems 1 and 2 were in perfect harmony. They both thought the SAT was bullshit. I agreed with them. I left the question blank.